It's Monday, July the 6th. We're following tension with China as U.S. military forces show their strength in the South China Sea.
It's rare for these drills to be so intense and long.
We'll explain the stakes. Plus, imagine what it would be like for an adoption to be frozen by the pandemic.
They pray for her. They still keep her very much a part of their family as much as they can. They just have no idea when they'll see her.
We'll take a closer look at how families are managing an uncertain future. Plus, when wearing a face mask leads you to get a tattoo. Sounds a bit odd. We'll explain. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal, and this is What's News. As the nation celebrated the July 4th holiday over the weekend, officials warned that hospitals in parts of the South and West could be running out of beds to treat COVID-19 patients. Texas, Arizona, and Florida are among the worst-hit states. Some communities scaled back weekend events to reduce crowding, but public health officials raised concerns about parties and packed beaches. President Trump hosted an Independence Day event on the South Lawn of the White House, where many guests did not wear masks. Dozens of people are presumed dead after flooding and mudslides in southern Japan. Peter Landers is the Wall Street Journal's Tokyo bureau chief.
It was a very heavy rainfall that came all in a burst Friday night and early Saturday local time, and the river just couldn't handle all that water and flooded over the banks. I think a lot of people were surprised. It was still the middle of the night, and some people were unable to escape in time. The water might have come, maybe they were sleeping on the first floor of their house and couldn't get to higher ground or higher floors even in time when the water rushed in. So I think it was scary for a lot of people in that part of Japan. Fortunately, this area, like many rural areas of Japan, has not really been affected at all by the coronavirus, maybe one or two cases here and there. And so in that sense, they start out with a head start there, but there is always the risk that the rescue effort could spread the virus somehow with people coming in to help from other parts of Japan.
Major U.S. military drills took place over the weekend in the South China Sea, a region where China has recently tried to exert more control. The Wall Street Journal's Alistair Gale has been reporting on the story all weekend.
The Ronald Reagan and Nimitz aircraft carriers have been in the South China Sea since early Saturday, where they're conducting around-the-clock exercises simulating attacks on enemy bases. The head of the Reagan strike group, Rear Admiral George Wyckoff, told me it's rare for these drills to be so intense and long, an indication of the message that the US wants to send to China, which has been building military facilities on islands in the sea. China has just wrapped up its own naval exercises around some of the islands, which Admiral Wyckoff said showed the need for the US to be in the area to support its allies and keep the region open for trade and passage by all vessels.
In just a moment, America's biggest tech companies in the crosshairs of European regulators will explain how EU moves could affect Google, Amazon, Facebook, Apple, and more. American tech companies could face major new regulations. The EU's top digital policy and antitrust official is out with details of potential plans related to content, competition, and taxes. Our markets columnist Mike Bird gives us some context.
So this is a new addition to an ongoing dispute mostly between the US and European Union on the regulation of tech companies, of course, most of those major tech companies being American. What the European Union wants, among other things, is for them to pay a greater share of their taxes within the European Union. And one of the things that's interesting from that, for an investor's perspective, is that a lot of these tech companies have been among the best performing companies in the market this year, but also for the last 5 to 10 years. Some of them have done very well indeed. They've become a much bigger part of the US equity market, and any moves towards taxing them more heavily or regulating them more tightly, especially if this becomes more of a model for elsewhere in the rest of the world, in other countries outside of Europe, and particularly in the United States, if it becomes more of a model there, it might be a difficulty for companies like Google, Facebook, Apple, Amazon going ahead in providing those sort of market gains that they've been known for in recent years.
When we reached out to Google, Facebook, Apple, and Amazon, they either didn't respond, declined to comment, or referred to earlier statements. Plans to build the massive Atlantic Coast Pipeline are now scrapped following years of debate, protest, and controversy that went all the way up to the Supreme Court. The proposed $8 billion project would have carried natural gas through West Virginia, Virginia, North Carolina, in part running below the Appalachian Trail. Duke Energy and Dominion Energy cited legal and regulatory concerns. We're also watching global stocks this morning. The Shanghai Composite Index closed 5.7% higher. That was its highest close in nearly 2.5 years. After a short break, families worry about what's next as the pandemic puts some adoptions on pause. We focused a lot on the economic hardship of the pandemic, but the emotional stress is also significant. And for families hoping to adopt, plans that may have been years in the making are now either on hold or moving very slowly. The Wall Street Journal's Christina Rexroth has been speaking to families facing this and joins us now. Christina, welcome.
Thank you.
Christina, looking at adoption as a whole, it is never clear-cut to begin with. There are so many variables, so many different things that can get in the way. Now we're in the midst of a pandemic. Is anyone having luck right now when it comes to adoption?
Well, I was pretty surprised when I first started reporting this story. Domestic adoption, so people who are in the U.S. and adopting U.S. children, those are basically moving forward. I think maybe if you had asked me that in March or early April, I wouldn't have said that. But in general, adoption agencies and adoptive families and birth families, and even the court system, a lot of places have adjusted pretty quickly. So it doesn't mean that everything is normal, but it means that things can move forward. A lot of this varies state by state or even city by city, but in general, adoption agencies have figured out how to continue to make that work.
So while domestic adoptions are moving forward, we also have to look at international adoptions, which can also be very difficult. Right now, getting abroad is very difficult, if not almost impossible.
Yeah, so sadly, in general, families who are trying to adopt from outside the U.S. are at a standstill. And even probably worse for them, they don't have a lot of information about when they're going to be able to meet their children, bring their children home. Now, it's not like international adoptions have been banned. It's just that they're really difficult to do right now. It's very hard to travel within the U.S., even more so to travel internationally. For example, I talked to a family in North Carolina that was all ready to go to China on January 31st and pick up the 3-year-old girl that they're adopting. And a few days before they were to leave, you know, the State Department advised Americans not to go to China, and they even advised Americans not to go to finalize an adoption. Now, say that they went, even if they could get to China, it's not clear that the local government offices that would need to finalize the adoption would be open. It's not clear if the country would let them in.
So was the family from North Carolina able to successfully adopt their 3-year-old?
No, they really don't know a lot about when they'll be able to. They're not sure when they'll be allowed to go to China. You know, I talked to the mom a lot, and it's pretty emotionally wrenching, you know, for any parent to not know when they're going to see their child, to not be involved in the decision-making for them. I spent a lot of time speaking to the mom, and she said that they have 2 older children who are 6 and 8, and they said that they talk about this little girl. They'll say, what do you think she'll be like? They pray for her. They still keep her very much a part of their family as much as they can. They just have no idea when they'll see her. And I was really struck when the mom told me that they wonder if this little girl, who has been, you know, given pictures of them and told that she has a family waiting for her in the U.S., she worries that this little girl thinks that they might have forgotten her, or that she's forgotten them.
That's tough to hear. This is also a time when families are doing an inward, outward look about what their priorities are and what they want their lives to be like. Do adoption agencies discourage people from considering adoption right now? Are they saying, let's wait a few months?
No, not at all. My understanding from reporting this story is that adoption agencies generally are getting as much interest as ever from families who are, you know, expressing interest in adoption.
The Wall Street Journal's Christina Rex wrote, Christina, really appreciated our conversation.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And finally, the struggle to stay stylish and safe during the pandemic includes the problem of wearing a face mask that can smear makeup. So some are taking bold steps. We talked to one woman in Shanghai who got her lips tattooed so she wouldn't have to deal with smeared lipstick. If that's a bit much for you, we found a woman in Texas who's been experimenting with dramatic false eyelashes to make a statement while much of her face is covered. We've got pictures and ideas on WSJ.com. The business impact is no small matter. One beauty insider estimates lipstick sales will drop about 70% this year. And that's what's news for this morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. We're back with another updated episode this evening. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.